It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And by Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another episode of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Hideki Matsuyama wins the first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs by winning the FedEx St. Jude Championship at TPC Southwind in Memphis, Tennessee. Hideki Matsuyama bogeyed the 14th hole, double bogeyed the 15th hole on Sunday to stand at 2 over par before birdies on 17 and 18 gave him a two-shot victory over Xander Schauffele and Victor Hovland. Hideki Matsuyama finished at minus 17 for the tournament, while Scottie Scheffler finished fourth at minus 14. Sam Burns tied for fifth with Nick Dunlap. Nick Dunlap's fifth-place finish, a minus 13 on the tournament, moved him on to the next round of the FedEx Cup playoffs at Castle Pines in Colorado. Scottie Scheffler still leads the FedEx Cup standings by 1,496 points over Xander Schauffele. Hideki Matsuyama moves up to third. Colin Morikawa is fourth, and Rory McIlroy is fifth. The all-important top 50 advance to the BMW Championship. Keegan Bradley right now is 50th. He started the week at 39 but fell to 50th with his showing at the FedEx Cup St. Jude Championship. After the BMW Championship, the top 30 will make their way to Atlanta and East Lake Country Club for the Tour Championship. In amateur golf, for the first time ever, Spain has a U.S. amateur champion. Jose Luis Ballester held off Noah Kent 2-up in the 36-hole final at Hazeltine National Golf Club. The match went the distance, a full 36 holes. Ballester, after tying the first hole, never trailed in the final. Ballester receives the gold medal, custody of the Havermeyer Trophy for 1 year, exemptions into the next 10 U.S. Amateur Championships, provided he stays an amateur, exemption into the 25 U.S. Open at Oakmont, a likely invitation into next April's Masters Tournament, an exemption into the 2025 Open Championship at Royal Portrush, those last two exemptions as long as he remains an amateur. Coming up on this edition of From the Short Grass, football kicks off this week, and one team that's going to be on the field on Saturday is the SMU Mustangs. I sat down with head coach Rhett Lashley, former quarterback at Shiloh Christian, a graduate assistant at Arkansas, and a longtime offensive coordinator under Gus Malzahn, who was his high school coach at Shiloh Christian. Rhett Lashley coming up after the break. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, Matthew Allen and Blair Allen. They know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure you find a Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel and book it. How do you do that? Find them on the web, bphotels.com. I'm back with Rhett Lashley after this. Stay with us.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group is the leader in the state in managing hotel properties. From El Dorado to Jonesboro to Fayetteville to Kansas City and back home in Little Rock, you will find a Beachwood Pinnacle managed hotel property. Are you looking for a weekend staycation? Book the Hilton Garden Inn located on Rock Street and enjoy the Agassi 7 rooftop bar with fantastic views of the Little Rock skyline. Open Sunday through Thursday evenings from 4 to 11 and Friday and Saturday from 5 to midnight. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass. Rhett Lashley was born in Springdale, Arkansas, played quarterback at the University of Arkansas from 2002 to 2004, and after that started his coaching career. He was the quarterback coach at Springdale High School from 2004 to 2005, a graduate assistant at Arkansas and Auburn followed, before he left and went to Samford to be the offensive coordinator and quarterback coach. He was the OC at Arkansas State and Auburn, UConn, SMU, and Miami before getting the nod to be the head coach of the SMU Mustangs in 2022. His head coaching record is 18-9, and he leads the Mustangs into the ACC for the first time ever. On the tee, Rhett Lashley.
Rhett, thanks for joining me on From the Shortgrass. Head football coach, SMU, moving to the ACC. What's that transition been like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's been fast. I mean, we won a conference championship, and it doesn't feel like we ever got to really sit and enjoy it, you know, but that may just be the way college football is, you know, because we won, and then we had December recruiting and all that, and then we played in a bowl game, and the next thing you know, we're in January, and we got about 6-7 months to get ready to play in the ACC. So whether it be recruiting and bulking up our staff in some areas and just doing things we need to do, all while at the same time getting our team ready for the offseason, it just feels like we jumped in it pretty quick.
The SEC now, it stretches from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean, basically, with Cal in there too, right?
Yeah, it's an Atlantic Coast Conference that goes out to the Pacific, right?
Yeah.
So Stanford and Cal joined. We're kind of in that happy medium. You know, it's not a big adjustment for us. We'll go west one game a year. And, you know, we were in the American Conference, which was a predominantly central to East Coast conference. Mm-hmm. So our travel won't be a problem. But, you know, obviously the caliber of teams we're playing and our peers have definitely stepped it up a level.
You like your schedule you have this year coming up?
Yeah, I do. It's exciting. I mean, when you think of – I mean, look, people in Arkansas are very familiar with SMU and the Southwest Conference. And, you know, we've got a rich history from Doak Walker to playing at Cowboy Stadium to Eric Dickerson, the Pony Express, won 11 Southwest Conference championships over our history, but had been kind of out of the power conversation for the last 35 years or so. You know, but I think when you look at our schedule for our fans, our school – you know, weeks 3, 4, and 5, BYU, TCU, Florida State, 3 weeks in a row rolling to Ford Stadium. We just hadn't had that type of schedule. And, you know, also Pitt and BC and Cal, just, you know, next year, you know, Baylor and Miami and so on and so forth. And so when you just start to look at the schools that we're playing, that part's exciting. If you're a coach, if you're a player, you want to compete against the best. But then I also think from a strategic standpoint, it actually may work out, you know, being a leap year, we get 2 bye weeks. We're playing week 0, so we get 3. We never play more than 3 games in a row.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. It'll never happen again probably, but we go 3 and we're off. We got 7 home games, so hopefully we'll do well.
Let's talk a little golf. When did you first pick up a golf club? Do you remember?
Yeah, I was my mother remarried when I was 7 to a guy named Phil Phillips out of Springdale, and so shortly around 7 or 8, I never played, but he played, and so he would take me to play, and he'd drag me around, and I'd cry because I was hitting grounders, and he was hitting in the air, and I didn't really care. I just wanted to hit the ball in the air, you know, at Springdale Country Club.
Yep.
And then we'd play, you know, it took me a long time before I was allowed to, and then I got to go play at Pinnacle after a while from then, but 7 or 8, and then I had some good buddies that played and did the statewide ASGA Junior Tour stuff, and where you'd play in Little Rock and Fort Smith and all that, and had fun, and probably by the time I was 12, 13, I was at least decent enough to say I was a golfer.
Yeah. Did you think about what sport you really wanted to focus on? Because obviously a talented football player as well. When did you have to make that decision?
I didn't think about it. I just knew I was pretty much an only child until my mom remarried, and then I got a sister out of the deal. But I just – sports was kind of my thing. It was my outlet. And I was in Springdale, so – Northwest Arkansas wasn't half as big as it is now, so you could kind of play everything. And so I played football, and then I played football Kiwanis Kids Day in Springdale in the first grade, you know. So I played football, then I'd play basketball, then I'd play baseball and golf. And then as I got older, I'd run track, and I just kind of did it all. And then it probably wasn't my seventh grade year was when Gus came to Shiloh. We had a good team my seventh grade year. So around sixth or seventh grade is when, I guess at least for Springdale, I could throw the ball okay for the kid in Springdale. And then, you know, Gus came to our school, and by my eighth grade year, we're no huddling and opening it up. And I think somewhere around ninth or tenth grade, I realized that maybe football was my best sport. I had the most fun playing golf and basketball. And the way Gus was, football was year-round. So baseball was really the first one to drop off. After about 14, 15, I dropped baseball and pretty much focused on football, basketball, golf, and track. And that worked out for me.
So did you play high school golf at Shiloh?
I was actually All-State. As a ninth grader, I got to go play. Well, I don't know if I was shot 80 because I made a 8. And I shot 80. We had a guy named Cole McNair who played for us. He was a good football player, too, that was the A player. But Gus was our golf coach, too. And
imagine that.
I think we were in El Dorado, at El Dorado Country Club, even.
Okay.
So I played 9th and 10th and 11th grade golf and got to play in the state tournaments. And I wasn't ever good enough to win them, but I was competitive. And then tore my shoulder up senior year, so I didn't get to play basketball and golf. But, yeah, I had a blast.
Did you ever think that, yeah, this is a sport that I'm just really in love with, or did that ever come to you?
With golf?
Yeah.
I love playing golf. Until I was about 27, I played a ton. I actually got decent. But the problem is I was taught by my dad just dragging me around, never had a golf lesson, had a homemade golf swing. I'm from Arkansas. I grew up, me and my buddy Clay Cole would sit at Pinnacle and hit off the range, and John Daly was on the back range, and balls were rolling at our feet from 350. And so I kind of swing like John Daly. I swing as hard as I can. Yeah. I hit it a long way.
Do you know where it's going?
Half the time. You know, if it's a good day, yeah, and I'll play really well. If it's not a good day, then I'm really good at punch shots. You know what I mean? But and then I got married to my wife, who my father-in-law just happens to be a
pretty good,
an All-American golfer from LSU's, won who knows how many tournaments in Arkansas. And, oh, by the way, just won the U.S. Senior Amateur in his first try, beating his brother in the semis. So, you know, I was dating her, and I'd go to Heber Springs to play golf at the Red Apple Inn with him. And, you know, about hole 3 or 4, he'd be like, you know, you got a really athletic swing if you just shorten your backswing a little bit. And, you know, that's not what you want to hear from your father-in-law, is he's beating you into the ground because he's 7 under and there's nothing you can do about it.
What are those matches like with Lewis?
They're not matches.
He is so good.
No, there's no – that's what killed me, is I'm competitive.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want strokes, whoever I play, and I'm not even good enough to win, but with him, I'd wave the white flag before I even got there.
Did he offer you strokes?
No, there was. I don't think either one of us ever were under the
it was,
naive impression
fun.
This was a competition.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It was wonderful to watch him play. I'll never forget. We were engaged, and he came up to Northwest Arkansas, and me and my dad and him and my buddy were going to play, and I'd been telling him about how good he was. I'm like, no, you guys don't understand. Like, if it's within 20 feet, he makes it. It's 270 down the middle. You'll think, oh, he's about to make a bogey. Next thing you know, he made a birdie. Like, it's unbelievable. And they're like, yeah, whatever. So he'd never seen Springdale Country Club. We teed off on number one, was the old side at that time.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know how they got it set up now. So we tee off on, he bogeys one, not a hard hole. And they're looking at me like, okay. And he shot 65.
Whoa.
So, like I said, it's pretty incredible.
Were they saying after that?
Well, after the first hole, they're like, okay, you talked up, you know. And after that, they're like, okay. You know, I mean, it's just – but that's when you learn – I learned what a real golfer is. Yeah, first of all, you hit it straight. You know where it's going. You're not about how far you hit it. But around the greens, they're up and down every time. I mean, I'm telling you, if it's within 10, 15 feet, it's in.
Yeah.
And it's just six-footers that you and I stress over, 6, 8-footers, 4-footers, they're like – they're just – they're gimmies, basically.
I mean, they're both in – the Arkansas State Golf Hall of Fame, him, mm-hmm. Lewis, and Stan, his brother. Just unbelievable gentlemen of the game and golfers. And I don't think, I mean, you might say different, but I don't think you could have a better father-in-law.
No, I couldn't. Yeah, I'm very fortunate. He's been good to me. My wife is awesome, so he raised an incredible daughter. And no, he's not had to tell me about how much better he is at golf than me over the years. We just don't have to worry about it. But no, it's really cool to your point. Stan wins it. 5 years later, Lewis goes, beats him in the semis. Then he caddies for Lewis, wins it. Like, those two guys, you know, what they've done for golf in the state of Arkansas and just who they are as people, to your point. I mean, Lewis is he's an incredible golfer, and he's 100 times a better human being.
All right, when were you more nervous, getting ready to ask him if you could have his daughter in marriage, or on the first tee knowing you're about to play against him in a round of golf?
I was never nervous playing against him other than the first time.
Okay.
Because I'd heard about it, and I'm just the boyfriend, you know. And, and then four holes in, I realized this is a coronation. I don't have to worry about this. So I got unnervous real quick. Definitely more asking him if I could marry his daughter. I'd lucked out, though, and had known him for a couple years at that point. And to your point, Lewis is so gracious. He was pretty gentle on me, and a lot more gentle than I probably will be on the whoever talks to me about my girls.
Yeah.
So, but no, that I was more nervous asking him for that than I was asking her to marry me. That's for sure.
When you are a football coach, you get asked to play a lot of times in scramble events, things like that. When you were an assistant coach, you get asked to do some of that stuff. Were you one of those guys that, hey, I want Rhett on my team because I know how good he is?
Probably from a coaching standpoint, yeah. I mean, by no means am I a great golfer, but for as little as we play, and like I said, I did play a lot till I was probably in my mid-20s. Yeah, I get to play in a lot of cool places. And, you know, at Auburn, there was a deal at Eastlake every year in Atlanta that is just every in May, you just know we're going up for the Big Bow and Barclay fundraiser, and you get to play in it, you know. And so on and so forth. And so I've always prescribed to this. If I'm not good enough to help the team, I at least swing really hard and hit it a long way, so I'm at least entertaining.
How is your relationship with Gus Malzahn? Obviously, you played for him, you coached with him, and you were his offensive coordinator at times too.
Yeah, no, it's good. I mean, our relationship's evolved over the years because I went from being a little, you know, pimpled-faced seventh grader at Shiloh Christian when he rolls in as the head coach and dean of students to his starting quarterback as a sophomore in high school to his GA at Arkansas and helping him at Auburn and then his OC at Arkansas State and Auburn. And so and now we're peers, you know, as head coaches. And so it's evolved. I mean, I think a lot of people that played high school sports know your high school coach is kind of always your coach.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that aspect of the relationship. But then to work for him for as long as I did and be his coordinator for over 5 years, like, that's a little different. And now I'd say our relationship's arguably the best it's ever been now because, you know, we're both head coaches. He's kind of on the good side of his career where he's really, I think, got great perspective, enjoying what he's doing. I'm on the front side of mine trying to just build our program every year and so there's a lot of bouncing off that can go on. We're together. It's you know, we're not going to compete with each other on the same staff, so we don't have that pressure. It's just more it's a more relaxed relationship. It's very appreciative, I think, on both of our ends. And I've really enjoyed the last couple of years. Just the kind of the dialogue has just changed, and that's been pretty cool.
He's in Orlando. A lot of good golf courses around there. You're in Dallas. Really good golf courses around here, too. When you do get out and get to play here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, where do you get to go and where do you like to play?
What's funny is I don't play a lot of golf in Dallas because the time of year I can play golf is now, and it's hot in Dallas and nobody's in Dallas. but here locally, you know, I have the ability to play at Royal Oaks, which is where Scottie Scheffler grew up playing. And then, you know, Trinity Forest is where SMU golf team plays. I'll play there a couple times a year. And then, you know, there's some really good courses, whether it's Dallas Country Club, Preston Trail, Dallas National, Northwood, that, you know, you'll play with some SMU alumni or friends at times, you know, maybe one round at each a year. We got a lot of good golf courses here. We got a lot of good golfers here, not just Bryson DeChambeau, but the Jordan Spieth and the Justin Thomases and Scottie Schefflers, like all those guys, like this is kind of home when they're not out on tour. So we got some pretty good golfers in the area.
Have you ever seen some of them out on the range and you walk up to and you say, hey, can you come look at my swing for a little bit?
I don't want anybody looking at my swing. My swing is not one that you want to try to repeat.
Okay. Who's the better golfer, you or Gus?
Well, I'm sorry, but it's not. You'll have to ask Gus, but it's me. You know, I mean, I've definitely beaten him a lot more than he's beaten me. He's going to hurt him to hear that. And I'd love to hear his response to that, but he knows the truth. And definitely lately, you know, we go to this coach's classic out in Pebble. He actually challenged our team this year. They do it by team. He came up to our team and threatened us, and they were up two strokes after day one, and I think we won by double digits by the end of day three. So,
wow.
Yeah. And
so y'all put the hammer down on
them. We did. But I do have a really cool story.
Okay.
So, Gus is the head coach at Springdale. I just kind of finished playing. I'm kind of helping coach the quarterbacks at Springdale. We go to Stonebridge to play in some two-man scramble. I don't know what it was. And he's late. he shows up. Like, we literally grabbed our bags, put on the cart, and headed out to, I don't remember if it's hole two or three. It's the first par three. Not loose, whatever. I get up, you know, I don't remember how far it was. It was probably 180, 185. I remember I hit a 7-iron. And he's like, what is it? I told him. He goes, I'm not loose. I think I'm going to hit a 6. He walked up, one hopped, and dunked it.
No way.
First, right off
the
deal.
In the hole?
I'm like, what?
He didn't tell me that story when I sat down with him a couple of years ago.
Well, it's not that memorable for him. It's just a hole in one. And I'm like, you just made that. He's like, yep, I think I did. And hopped in the golf cart, and off we went. I was like, what are we doing? So
one circle.
But we did have some good competitive matches back in the day when I was on the high school golf team. He was our coach early on in the coaching career, you know, at Auburn, too. When I was OC, every year we'd go to Farm Links outside of Auburn in Sylacauga, and we would play kind of a staff round. And it was always very important to me to make sure I ended the summer by beating him.
So and, he wasn't a guy that, like, it's not like Coach Saban where you can't beat Coach. Your staff was like, no, if you can beat Coach, you go ahead and do it.
I don't know what everyone else thought, but all I wanted to do was beat him. And because he was going to talk a lot of noise if it didn't happen. And it's kind of like the Iron Bowl. You get bragging rights for a year. Well, if you win that last round before we go into fall camp, you get to talk all till next spring.
Yeah.
And he probably got me once, but I got him most of the time. I'll never forget the last time I chipped it in on 18 when I was up one, and it angered him a little bit.
So what was the trash talk like then all during the season and before you could get back out?
Well, that rule was in place. If I beat the head coach, I didn't talk trash. I just knew I beat the head coach.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
But when he beat you?
I probably heard about it, yeah.
Do you remember any of that?
No, he's all in good fun. But every now and then he just like, hey, you remember that time I beat you, you know? But here's my thing. Like, if you got to remember that time, then it didn't happen very much.
That's right. That's right. It hadn't happened with me yet. I mean, I think we might have played 3-4 times. I think every time I've won $5 off of him. That's all he's going to play for.
Well, he's smart enough to not bet too much.
Christy gets mad at him because he's losing $5.
I will say I have a better golf swing than he has. Yeah,
he's got
Christy's
a wide
mad
stance.
About that $5. I know.
Yeah, he's got a wide stance.
He's got a wide stance. He's got that kind of softball swing going. But again, when it's on, he's pretty good.
Rhett, when this guy is playing on TV, you are going to stop and make plans to watch him.
We're talking
golfers.
Like, I mean, right now at this day, I mean, for everybody in my lifetime, it would be Tiger, right? Yeah. But for current, I would say Scottie Scheffler and Bryson DeChambeau. You know, one, Scottie Scheffler is the best golfer in the world right now. And I'm in Dallas. He grew up right around the corner from SMU. I can go to Royal Oaks where he grew up playing. And then Bryson went to SMU. And obviously he just won the Open, and you know, he'll come around and he'll be here for some games. And so it's just kind of cool that two of the better golfers in our game right now are either connected to where we are or come around a lot.
I was going to ask you, are there plans to have Bryson at a game this year with that U.S. Open Championship trophy?
Absolutely. Look, that's not totally my job.
Yeah, you're not in marketing.
You know, but I would think when you start to look at, we got TCU at home, we got our first conference game against Florida State, I could see those being venues that would be great, and he'll be here. And he's been gracious, I know, to our golf team, to our school, has come back a lot more recently. And, I mean, the reason those guys are so impressive, I mean, Scottie's consistency is incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got a chance to maybe go on a decade run similar to, like, what Tiger did. And then, you know, you look at Bryson, what he does and how far he hits the ball and how unique he is with his club links. And it was kind of cool. I got one of these putters of his the other day that he's designed his own putter, you know, that's like a different lofted putter. Like, he's very scientific about it. I think it's just fascinating.
Are you an analytical guy when it comes to numbers and stuff with football, he is with golf?
I'm really the total opposite. I'm a feel guy. I know the numbers. I want to hear the information. Like, you know, we have somebody in the middle of a drive on 3rd and 7 going, hey, 4 is a go, so I know 4th and 4 better means the book tells me to go, but that book doesn't have to go to the post-game press conference afterwards.
Yeah.
So I want to know the data. I think it's important, but it's a human game. It's a human element, and that's just also my personality. I'm a little more of a feel-by-your-gut kind of guy.
EA Sports has come out with their new College Football 25.
Yep.
Have you played it yet? And then have you played – EA Sports golf games as well.
Back in the day, I played Tiger Woods golf like crazy.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't play a lot of video games anymore. Every now and then, I'll play some Madden with one of my boys or whatever. But yes, actually, last night, we got the game. My boys had been playing it. Last night, late, one of my sons said, Dad, let's play. So I said, okay. It's been 10 years now.
Okay.
I was good back in the day.
And don't tell me you lost to him.
No, he randomly scrolled it, so he didn't want it, but he got Alabama. So he had me randomly scroll, and I think I got Oregon. I said, forget this. I'm playing with SMU.
Okay.
At Alabama. He goes, are you sure you want to do that? I'm like, yeah. So we're at Alabama. He chose to wear whites. I wore the SMU black unis. In the very first play, our quarterback, Preston Stone, throws a pick six, and he's up 7-0. And my other son goes, so is that going to hurt him in real life? I said, I don't know. Let's see how the rest of the game goes. I was down 21-0 at the end of the first quarter, which back in the day, house rules, the game would have been over. But we kept playing, and I won 43-28.
Wow.
And I made sure the young one knows where he stands. And SMU beat Alabama in my first game on the new game in over a decade. So
can't beat that, can you?
No. Had some comeback to do, though.
Best golf course Rhett Lashley has ever played?
Oh, man. Well, I'm going to say one, and then I'll give you another. I played Augusta once. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's the most nervous I've ever been over a tee shot, was hitting that first tee shot there. Just make contact. You know what I mean? There's a lot of good ones. I love Pebble Beach. It fits well to me. But you know what? I love Spyglass right out there by it.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to go to this deal every year and play those two in Spanish Bay. I could play – I like Spyglass the most, I think, because it's like the tale of two nines. You know, you tee off on one and you kind of go down the hill and you go by the water on the ocean. Not quite as majestic as Pebble, but you're down there for four or five, six holes, and then you work your way back up. So it's almost like you have some Ocean Links golf and some American golf in the woods all together. And I also like it because I play good there. So I would say that would be up there for me.
Fantasy foursome, living or deceased, you and three others that you could play a round of golf with, who would they be?
People or golfers?
People, golfers, anybody. I mean, that plays the game.
Yeah.
But, you know, anybody.
Okay, I'm going to go with actual humans. I'm not going to give you like Jesus or something like that, like probably people would do. Fantasy foursome, I'd love to play with Tiger. I'd love to play with Jack, and I'd love to play with John Daly.
That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be a heck of a group, wouldn't
There'd
it?
There'd be some stories in that one. Is that one where you just sit back and just listen to them talk?
Well, I have a feeling John would be doing a lot of talking. I don't know. I just want to know whose team I get to be on in the two-on-two game.
I get your pick. Who do you want?
Well, I mean, who at my age, who doesn't want Tiger? I didn't get to see Jack in his prime, but I'm very respectful of it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. John and I could be a bad combo.
I think y'all would do pretty good. Rhett, thanks so much for the time. Best of luck at SMU and the move to the ACC. And going to keep following you.
Thanks, Trey. Appreciate you having me on.
Traveling to Fayetteville to watch a game? Forgot to book a room for the night? Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group has you covered. Stay where the real fans stay. Staybridge Suites is just south of Baum Walker Stadium and is an all-suite hotel within walking distance of Baum Walker, Bud Walton, Bogle Park, and Razorback Stadium. Or you could stay at the Comfort Inn and Suites with the newly remodeled rooms throughout the entire property. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. When you need an overnight place to stay anywhere in Arkansas, check out bphotels.com first. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels.
At Stevens, our philosophy is to invest every dollar as if it were our own. To seize opportunity. To anticipate rather than react. To deliver constant focus in an ever-changing world. And to pursue the objectives of our clients in order to help them reach their financial goals. A proven history of helping companies and individuals. Stevens, member NYSE SIPC.
That will just about do it for this edition of From the Shortgrass. I want to thank Rhett Lashley for spending time out of his busy schedule before fall camp started to sit down and chat with me. They open up at Nevada on Saturday, a 7 o'clock Central Time kick. It's going to be shown on the CBS Sports Network. And then they return to Gerald Ford Stadium in Dallas for four straight home games. A highlight there is their ACC opener against Florida State on September the 28th. They open their season with four straight non-conference games at Nevada, Houston Christian, BYU, and TCU. All three of those last games at Gerald Ford Stadium before the big matchup with Florida State in their ACC opener. That will do it for this edition of From the Shortgrass. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the Shortgrass.
You've been listening to From the Shortgrass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.